E-Tidings Cosmos. Good morning, 21st century world of worlds. This is Radio Richard Ireland, coming to you from within the soundproofless studio of life itself. Tá míle fáilte rót anseo. I am your host, Richard McSweeney. Hear this, listener, give it here your fullness of ear. From the beginning there is breath, and upon that breath, there are words. Saw a sign which read, "No long-term parking, sit down only, thank you." I wonder, do we use our mind like that? No long-term parking of our ideas, only setting them down for a moment here and there before moving them on. And the sage in the digital age speaks of the philosopher of old, saying, "From the sublime dignity and comfort of the omnipotent valleys, pasturelands, hills, and seashore, do I laugh at all of your ways? How came you to be so absurd? How came you to be so irrational? Know you not that I have set myself upon this sacred island as a self-expression unto myself? My will I do. I have anointed myself to be my own anointed, to live a life of unconstrained thoughts, and to no one at all do any hurt whatsoever. I am of the fidelity of the ages, fidelity to the natural worlds within and about us. I have myself be a culturing sage of nature upon this beauteous landscape. I take unto myself my great power and reign from head south to head north, from head north to head west to head east, and about again over and over to head south, filling my mind with wholesome thoughts, and my actions be all of them goodness. My mind is my foundation and my strength. Try to engage with my mind using your ideas, and you will, as sure as the sun is in the sky, fail. I am myself, daily myself do I beget. Behold, I confidently declare here in your hearing my noble right and proof of self-sovereignty. That you cannot grasp what it is I am saying, so be it so. Attempt not then to try and fathom it, for in truth it is a great truth, a truth reverently to be spoken of, but not irreverently to be understood. Rejoice in the mystery of the mystery that is in your hearing. Be serene in the essence of mystery, not striving to unveil it, rather enjoying being of it. Seek I not for your Judaic or Christian ways to be my way, to be my inheritance. I have no need of these for my possession. My way is of listening progressively to the gentle breeze among the reeds and in the leaves and in the bubbling forth pure springs. I dwell and put my trust in the omnipotence of the sea, rivers and streamed lands beneath my feet, the sky above my head, and the infinite worlds beyond the starry heavens never ending. In today's broadcast, I'll be reading from Prince Hamlet, The Republic, and the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. This is a reading in continuity from Prince Hamlet. I like him not. Nor stands it safe with us to let his madness range. Therefore prepare you. I your commission with forthwith dispatch, and he to England shall along with you. The terms of our estate may not endure hazards so dangerous as that hourly grow out of his lunacies. We will ourselves provide, most holy and religious fear it is, to keep those many, many bodies safe that live and feed upon your majesty. The single and peculiar life is bound with all the strength and armour of the mind, to keep itself from annoyance, but much more that spirit upon whose weal depend and rest the lives of many. The seas of majesty dies not alone, but like a gulf that draw what's near it with it, it is a massy wheel fixed on the summit of the highest mount, to whose huge spoke 10,000 lesser things are mortised and adjoined, which, when it falls, each small annexment, petty consequence, attends the boisterous ruin. Never alone did the king sigh, but with a general groan. Arm you, I pray you, to this speedy voyage, for we will fetters put upon this fear, which now goes too free-footed. We will haste us. My lord, he's going to his mother's closet, behind the arrays. I'll convey myself to hear the process, and warn it she'll tax him home. And as you said, and wisely was it said, 'tis meet that some more audience than a mother, since nature makes them partial, should o'erhear the speech of vantage. Fare you well, my liege. I'll call upon you ere you go to bed, and tell you what I know. Thanks, dear my lord. Oh, my offences rank, it smells to heaven. It hath the primal elder's curse upon it, a brother's murder. Pray, can I not, though inclination be as sharp as will, my stronger guilt defeats my stronger intent? And I, like a man to double business bound, I stand and pause where I shall first begin and both neglect. What if this cursed hand were thicker than itself with brother's blood? Is there not rain enough in the sweet heavens to wash it white as snow? Whereto serves mercy but to confront the visage of offence? And what's in prayer but this twofold force, to be forestalled ere come to fall, or pardoned being down? Then I look up. My fault is past. But oh, what form of prayer can serve my turn? Forgive me my foul murder? That cannot be, since I am still possessed of those effects for which I did the murder. My crown, my own ambition, and my queen. May one be pardoned and retain the offence? In the corrupted currents of this world, offence's gilded hand may shove by justice, and oft is seen the wicked prize itself buys out the law. But 'tis not so above. There's no shuffling. There the action lies in his true nature, and we ourselves compelled, even to the teeth and forehead of our faults, to give in evidence. What then? What rests? Try what repentance can. What can it not? Yet what can it when one cannot repent? O wretched state! O bosom black as death! O limed soul that's struggling to be free, art more engaged? Help, angels, make essay. Bow, stubborn knees, and heart that strings of steel, be soft as sinews of the newborn babe. All may be well. A reading from Plato's The Republic. Yes, said Cleitophon, interposing if you are allowed to be his witness. But there is no need for any witness, said Polymarchus, for Trechimachus himself acknowledges that rulers may sometimes command what is not for their own interest, and that for their subjects to obey them is justice. Yes, Polymarchus, Trechimachus said, that for subjects to do what was commanded by their rulers is justice. Yes, Cleitophon, but he also said that justice is the interest of the stronger, and while admitting both these propositions, he further acknowledges that the stronger may command the weaker, who are his subjects, to do what is not for his own interest, whence follows that justice is the injury quite as much as the interest of the stronger. But said Cleitophon, he meant by the interest of the stronger what the stronger thought to be his interest. This was what the weaker had to do, and this was affirmed by him to be justice. Those were not his words, rejoined Polymarchus. Never mind, I replied. If he now says that they are, let us accept his statement. Tell me, Trashimachus, I said, did you mean by justice what the stronger thought to be his interest, whether really so or not? Certainly not, he said. Do you suppose that I call him who is mistaken the stronger at the time when he is mistaken? Yes, I said, my impression was that you did so, when you admitted that the ruler was not infallible, but might be sometimes mistaken. You argue like an informer, Socrates. Do you mean, for example, that he who is mistaken about the sick is a physician, in that he is mistaken? Or that he who errs in arithmetic or grammar is an arithmetician or a grammarian at the time when he is making the mistake in respect of the mistake? True, we say that the physician or the arithmetician or grammarian has made a mistake, but this is only a way of speaking, for the fact is that neither the grammarian nor any other person of skill ever makes a mistake in so far as he is what his name implies. They none of them err unless their skills fails them, and then they cease to be skilled artists. No artist or sage or ruler errs at the time when he is what his name implies, though he is commonly said to err, and I adopted the common mode of speaking. But to be perfectly accurate, since you are such a lover of accuracy, we should say that the ruler, in so far as he is the ruler, is unerring, and being unerring, always commands that which is for his own interest. And the subject is required to execute his commands, and therefore, as I said at first and now repeat, justice is the interest of the stronger. Indeed, Trashimachus, do I really appear to you to argue like an informer? Certainly, he replied. And do you suppose that I ask these questions with any design of injuring you in the argument? Nay, he replied. Suppose is not the word, I know it, but you will be found out, and by sheer force of argument you will never prevail. I shall not make the attempt, but to avoid any misunderstanding occurring between us in future, let me ask, what sense do you speak of a ruler or stronger whose interest, as you were saying, is being the superior? It is just that the inferior should execute, if he is a ruler in the popular or in the strict sense of the term. In the strictest of all senses, he said, and now cheat and play the informer, if you can. I ask no quarter at your hands, but you never will be able, never. And do you imagine, I said, that I am such a madman as to try and cheat, Trashimachus? I might as well shave a lion. Why, he said, you made the attempt a minute ago, and you failed. Enough, I said, of these civilities. It will be better that I should ask you a question. Is the physician, taken in that strict sense of which you are speaking, a healer of the sick or a maker of money? And remember that I am now speaking of the true physician. A healer of the sick, he replied. And the pilot, that is to say, the true pilot, is he a captain of sailors or a mere sailor? A captain of sailors. The circumstance that he sails in the ship is not to be taken into account, neither is he to be called a sailor. The name pilot by which he is distinguished has nothing to do with sailing, but it's significant of his skill and of his authority over the sailors. Very true, he said. This is an interpretation, after my own fashioning, of some lines from the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. Northeast star visitor spoke to me, saying, Humaculate of Era, what stories, what anecdotes, what insights do you bring to this new dawn? In the days of long ago, a Humaculate dwelling here on the island had this to say, There is the land about and all that is upon it. There is that which is below the land and all that is within it. There are the springs, streams, lakes, rivers, and the sea and all that is within them. And there is the sky, be it the endless heavens and the endless of all that is of it. I am an endless life form of these, ever being born of them and into them, ever living with them, and ever am I returning unto them. Of this place and that place of them have I been numerous times. Today I am of this planet. I may or may not ever again be of this planet, and then again I may. I would like to, though. Though they have caused me to dwell here in this planet of theirs, and have well hid me in plain view here on this beautiful island, very few among the humans are they who can see me, hear me, or know me, though I oft be with strolling and chatting in their company. Save for the handful of us humaculates living here on the island, I would, I believe, be very lonely. Why is it that the insects and the animals of the land, the birds of the air, the fishes of the waters, and the grasses and flowers and trees, even the rocks, all do see me, all do hear me, and all do know me enough to be contentedly communicating with me? Why is it that the humans alone do not, save for the one or two? Given this, why wasn't I made part butterfly, or trout, or seagull, or horse instead? Why a human? Why was I given to be a humaculate? In a dawn reverie of this new day, meditated I on what an immortal self of mine did say, did lovingly relay way back in days of long, long, long gone by. O mortal self of mine, when with living in your own realm and time, you will know yourself alone to be yourself, none other besides to be. All right, I will leave it at that for today. Enjoy taking very good care of yourself and those around you. Be ever so grateful for your many blessings. And spare a thought too for peoples living in faraway places, in all different kinds of situations, often very difficult and not at all of their own making. You have been listening to an Irish philosopher of the natural kind, bringing radio to the internet via Radio Richard Ireland. On the air globally for about 15 minutes, Monday to Friday, and occasionally on the weekends. The script format of today's broadcast will be available at a future date on AuthenticCloseTDramaScripts.com. It is truly an honor to have you listening. May you be a blessing unto yourself by way of your past, by way of your present, and by way of your future. Slán agus beannacht leat.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.